Last time I was up here, we talked about the entire universe, on how looking at everything, how it's constructed, God's creation, you see God's fingerprint. And I decided that I think we need to go smaller. I think we need to really look at, the stars are great. Like I said, Larry came up to me afterwards and said, that's exactly what I do. Lay out underneath the stars when we're camping and just look up and see the clusters of stars and watch the satellites go by. And it's just amazing. Well, as a little kid, after it rained, go out to the mud puddles, if anything gathered there for a bit, and you'd start seeing tadpoles, start seeing other things in there. Get the tadpoles, and they eventually turn into frogs. Mom didn't like it too much when you brought a bunch of them in the house. You get in trouble. But that's what she got when she had a bunch of boys. Genesis. We're in the first book of Genesis, first book of the Bible, Genesis, chapter 1, verse 11. Then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants, trees on the land that bear fruit with seeds in them, according to various kinds. And it was so, and the land produced vegetation, plants bearing seeds according to their kind, and trees bearing fruit with seeds in them according to their kind. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. I wrote this sermon 30 days. It's been in my head for a long time, but I wrote it down 30 days ago. So what comes up in the verses and what we're going to discuss has nothing to do with current events, but it has everything to do with current events. You're going to pick a verse in the Bible, a scripture, and it will mean something to you that plays out what's going on in the world today. But this is amazing. All it said was, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees according to the various kinds. That's simplistic. If you studied any type of science, plants, you'll see that the next slide shows, if Dave got it right since I sent it to him, that's a leaf. Not a road map, not a farming community, that's a leaf. And you start looking closer at it, you'll see the different little cells. Each of those cells will produce oxygen. Photosynthesis, the process in green plants and other organisms by which carbohydrates are synthesized from carbon dioxide, what we breathe out, and a source of hydrogen, usually water. Using light as an energy source, most forms of photosynthesis release oxygen as a byproduct. Algae does that. Trees do that. What we need for life. And all it says is, let it produce vegetation. You can spend so much time on one verse and have the science to back it up. That is a cross-section of grass. You can see how happy they are. I thought it was Photoshopped and somebody just put that in there, but no, that's exactly what it is. It's a cross-section of grass. Like, really? They just look happy with teeth. So, the sun splits the water molecule made of hydrogen and oxygen, held in the plant's leaves, and releases the oxygen into the air. The leftover hydrogen combines with carbon dioxide to produce carbohydrates, which the plant uses as food, as do any animals or humans who might eat it. Simple sugars. Nothing simple about it. It takes a lot of man-made oxygen and hydrogen splitting the water molecule takes a lot of energy relative to plants just doing it naturally. Easy. Well, we think it's easy. They may be straining, but easy. Isaiah 49. And it seems like we're jumping around, but we are kind of jumping around a little quicker here. Isaiah 49:1. Listen to me, you islands. Hear this, you distant nations. Before I was born, the Lord called me. From my birth, he has made mention of my name. Another one that says, before I was born, the Lord called me, and from my mother's womb, he spoke my name. Current events. Roe v. Wade. Listening to the radio and listening to talk radio, somebody was arguing, when does life begin? And they said, whether it's religious or science, there's still a debate. There's no debate. None whatsoever. Oh, I'm not talking Christianity. If I take God out of the equation of life, which a lot of people have, if scientists in their all their little rovers rolling around on Mars were to find one cell of organic material, the headlines would say, life. One cell. There is 1,000 megabytes, gigabytes, terabytes of information in the egg and the semen coming together. Tons of information. From that one egg cell, and as it continues to split off, that information is replicated over and over and over again. When they first looked at it, when the first microscope came out, or even just doing observations with a magnifying glass, they called all these things simple cells. There's no such thing as a simple cell. Psalms 139, 13 through 16. For you created my innermost being. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I was fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that fully well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in a secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. There are 12 nerves in the central nervous system, 12 pairs, a left and a right nerve for each nerve type. Some control muscles, others control senses, the visual process center of the brain, the occipital lobe, with different areas of the lobe affect different areas of the visual field. Four cranial nerve pairs control the eyes themselves, the optic nerve, the ocular motor nerve, the trochlear nerve, and the adduction nerve. When light is focused, is projected on the retina, it stimulates the rods and the cones, and the retina sends the nerve signals are sent to the back of the eye to the optic nerve. The optic nerve carries the signals to the brain, which interprets them as visual images. The optic nerve may be found in your eye, or is found in your eye, may be found. But part of the central nervous system, the optic nerve takes the visual information gathered and transmitted to serious electrical impulses to the parts of the brain that acts as vision centers, allowing you to make sense of what you're seeing. Vision loss due to optic nerve damage cannot be recovered. It may be stopped, but it cannot be recovered. Glaucoma Research Foundation estimates 6 million cases of people worldwide experiencing vision loss due to glaucoma. Damage to the optic nerve causes vision loss. And that's part of the verses that I have today. Matthew 9. Jesus stepped into the boat and crossed over and came to his own town. Some people brought to him a paralytic lying on a mat. Jesus saw their faith. He said to the paralytic, "Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven." At this, some of the teachers of the law said to themselves, "This fellow is blaspheming." Knowing their thoughts, Jesus said, "Why do you entertain evil thoughts in your heart? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? But so that you know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," then he said to the paralytic, "Get up, take your mat, and go home." The man got up and went home. And when the crowd saw this, they were filled with awe, and they praised God who had given such authority to men. Why is that important? Break a leg, break an arm, car accident. We're going to be in rehab for a while. Learn how to walk again. This is a paralytic who could not walk. The motor skills weren't there. Legs were wasting away. Jesus said, "Get up and walk." Didn't give him a pill. Didn't give him any painkillers. Got up, took his mat, and walked, praising God. Didn't stumble. Didn't fall over. Didn't say that anybody else helped him up. Didn't say he used a cane. He got up and walked. You have to think, all the nerves connecting the legs to the brain, through the spinal cord. What were the injuries? Doesn't say he was born crippled. It's that he was a paralytic. Accident. There was no OSHA back at that time to help anybody out. Keep employee safety. It was an accident. Something happened to him. Didn't need rehab. Got up and walked. Luke 7. Luke 7:12. As he approached the town, or approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. The large crowd from the town was with her. And when the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." Then he went up and touched the coffin, and those who carried it stood still. He said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." The dead man sat up and began to talk. And Jesus gave him back to his mother. As we get older, some of us getting out of bed wrong hurt our backs. I go to work and somebody says, "How are you doing today?" I said, "I hurt my back." "Well, what'd you do?" "Well, I got out of bed." And they go, "And?" "No, that's it. I just got out of bed." I mean, as a young person, you just jumped out of bed, fell out of bed, whatever, and you just took off running. I could lay there in bed, and if I even sit up wrong, sometimes like, "Oh, my neck. Oh, that hurt. What did I lift?" Got to roll out of bed slowly. It didn't happen. God said, "Get up." And he got up. Matthew 9:29. Let's go a little sooner. As Jesus went from there, two blind men followed him, calling out, "Have mercy on us, son of David." When he had gone indoors, the blind man came to him, and he asked him, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" "Yes," they replied. Then he touched them, and he said, according to your faith, it will be done. And their sight was restored. And Jesus said to them sternly, see to that no one knows about this. But they went out, spread the news about him all over the region. Their sight was restored. Not that they were born blind, but their sight was restored. Other stories you hear that scales fail away from their eyes, same with Paul, that they could see. Something was clouding. It might have been glaucoma. I don't know. But he restored their sight. They can see before. Now it just was something familiar to them. That was all the background. John 9. This is probably, well, there's many of my favorite stories in the Bible. This is probably one of my most favorite. Because it has a touch of, well, seems like a lot of sarcasm. John 9. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Any type of defect, any type of birth defect, even now, cleft palate, club foot, color of skin. In India, as an albino, you were an outcast. It was considered an evil sign. Red hair, what you call a ginger, considered a bad sign. Cleft palate, you did something wrong. Your parents did something wrong. Outcast. There are American doctors all over the world who will do just cleft palate surgeries and try to correct that. It shortens their lifespan because the hard palate is separated and it goes into their sinuses. And as they chew food, it gets into their sinuses. They cannot swallow properly, talk properly, chew properly, end up malnutrition, end up possibly dying. Neither this man nor his parents sinned, Jesus, but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. Having said this, he spit on the ground and made some mud with the saliva and put it on the man's eyes. Go, he told him, wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors, who had formerly seen him begging, isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg? Some claimed that he was. Others said, no, he looks like him. But he himself insisted, I am the man. How then is your eyes opened? They demanded. He replied, the man who they call Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see. Where is this man? They asked. I do not know. He walked away blind with mud on his eyes and went to the pool, so he didn't know which way Jesus went. The Pharisees investigated. They brought the man to the Pharisees, who had been blind. Now the day when Jesus made the mud and opened the man's eyes was the Sabbath. Therefore the Pharisees also asked him how he had regained his sight. He put mud on my eyes, the man replied, and I washed, and now I see. Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. But others asked, how can a sinner do such a miraculous sign? So they were divided. Finally, they turned again to the blind man. What have you to say about him? It was your eyes he opened. He replied, he is a prophet. The Jews did not believe that he had been born blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. Is this your son? They asked. Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that he can see? We know that he is our son, the parents answered. We know that he was born blind, but how can he see now? Or who opened his eyes, we do not know. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews. For already the Jews had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Christ would be put out of the synagogue. That was why his parents said, he is of age. Ask him. A second time they summoned the man who had been born blind. Give glory to God. They said, we know this man is a sinner. He replied, whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. When they asked him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? No fear. This is the rulers of your age. No fear. I told you already, and you do not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? That's the sarcasm I like. I read it in a sarcastic tone. That's how I like it. Here is somebody who is not educated, who could not be educated, because he was born blind. His job was to beg. That was his job. He still lived at home, being taken care of by his parents, but he had to help supplement that by begging. How did he get educated? How did he know to stand up for himself? How did he know to speak so well? To stand, I believe, not trembling before the Sanhedrin, before the Pharisees, before the ruling class, before the educated, and kind of ask them the same question that probably was in their hearts. Do you want to become his disciples as well? They hurled insults at him and said, you are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we do not know where he comes from. In the news, we know that life comes from God. And when this ruling changed, they start targeting pro-life people, Christians. And it's been something that Christians and the pro-life organization has been praying for. And they're being insulted, network news, in private, Facebook, public, friends. Just because we believe that life comes from God. And as Christians, we know that life comes from God. Science tells us one organic cell, that's life. I believe everybody's life is precious. And whether born with a defect, born with a handicap, develop a handicap, they need our prayers. They need our support. They need to hear the message of God, knowing that they are not an outcast, an outsider, that there is a purpose for them. This is an opportunity for the Christian church. The man being born blind, why? So God's work can be displayed in him. What people would consider unwanted children. This is an opportunity for the church to step up, to show them that they are valued, that they are from God, that they are life, that their life is not meaningless, that there is a purpose. Why is this happening? So God's work can be displayed through the church, through these people. And I hope the church, I pray that the church does not miss that opportunity. The man answered, now that is remarkable. You do not know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly man who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. Went and washed his eyes and can see. when you have LASIK cataract surgery, they put sunglasses on you, they blindfold you for a while, you go home, they tell you not to do this or do that, don't look at the light, give it some time before you can open your eyes. This man went and washed. Now you think he just, something just came off of his eyes. But that you know that the optic nerve sends it to the brain, and the brain has to process all of this information. Every single bit of it. The human cell, everything has to connect. And you can't look at it and say it's a simple cell. The colors. Walking. Born blind, you're into a dark room, you put your hands out. If you've been in your house long enough, you know so many steps this way, then you turn, up, there's the door, there's, until somebody vacuums or moves something, and then next thing you know, you walk right into the door because you put your hands out for the door, and it's open, and it hits you right between the eyes. You step on a cat. I think the cat's still trying to kill me, but you step on the cat. It gets under your foot all the time. But here's a man born blind, now can see, and everything has to connect. Everything has to line up. The dead man being brought back. People who were blind, the accident, the paralytic who had the accident, the men, again, scales fell from their eyes and they could see. To this they reply, "You were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us?" And they threw him out. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he had found him, he says, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You have now seen him, and in fact, he is the one speaking to you." Then the man said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshipped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into the world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." Completely. Wasn't a partial healing. Wasn't a temporary healing. The paralytic is still, well, at that time was still walking. The men who Jesus restored their sight, still seeing. This man born blind, seeing. The nerve, the optic nerves, everything reconnecting. Is able to process the information. Be able to understand the information, the colors. Nothing overwhelming. Completely. So when God says, "Believe in me and you will be saved." Not a partial saving. Not a temporary saving. Nothing that you can earn. Even if you're saved, nothing that you can earn again and again and again. You can't earn it. I'll do better. I'll do better next time. Good. It does not mean you'll get to heaven. Salvation in Christ alone is how you get to heaven. And it's complete. A lot of us come from a Catholic background. And we still have family members who are Catholic. And they'll tell you that you go to purgatory to burn off your sins or to pay for further sins that you didn't confess at that time. Or Jesus only covers so many sins, but there's sins that you committed that you're unaware of. When God saves, he saves completely. When he heals completely. It is not temporary. God says, "You'll be with me in heaven." Told the thief on the cross, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." Not in 1,000 years from now, not in 20 days from now, but today you'll be with me in paradise. The man answered, "Now that is remarkable. You do not know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly man who does his will." I know I'm repeating myself. who does His will. Where are we at in God's will right now? Do we see? Have we opened our eyes? Are we still blinded by this world? By the news that the world drags you down through? Turn on the news. It's terrible. All they want to tell you is, this is bad, this is bad, and this is bad. It's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to show the people of this world that God loves them. It's an opportunity to have your light shine. My daughter told me that she has a friend who works in a restaurant. And she said that the worst people to serve are the Christians after church. Extremely demanding, extremely rude. And that hurts. It hurts me, but it hurts the name of Christ. And I'm guilty of that. Maybe not to servers, because I learned a long time ago from my stepfather, don't be rude to the people who are serving your food. Because we were at the McDonald's drive-thru one time, and we're going up our way to cut timber. Me and my two other brothers. It gets to the drive-thru, and we order breakfast. And they tell him to pull up, and we'll bring it out to us. And he goes, no, I'm going to sit right here. I think you'll get it to me a lot quicker if I am backing up the rest of your traffic. And me and my brothers just put our head down and we thought, oh, they're spitting in our food right now. They might have. I don't know. We still ate it. We're boys. But I know that I have to be nicer to people on the phone because they're just doing their job. I know I have to be nicer at the auto place instead of thinking that I know more than they do, which I probably do, but just to get the part. The joke goes that the man was driving down the road, had his windows down, and he was cussing and swearing and cutting off people, giving them signals. Wasn't speeding. And the police officer pulled him over. Cop walks up, knocks on the window. Do you know why I pulled you over? License and registration. He goes, here you go. Do you know why I pulled you over? He goes, no. And he goes, I saw the Christian bumper sticker. It says, God is my co-pilot. And I figured the way you were acting that this car was stolen. Couldn't be a Christian driving this vehicle. Who's driving us? How are we acting in this world? Are we the people that servers, customer service likes to hear from? Or do people cringe when they hear our voice? Does our family members kind of feel bad for the person on the other line when they hear you talking on the phone? Yes, it can be frustrating. Yes, it can be irritating. But how are we towards God? What type of name are we given the name Christian, the name of Christ? How can you be a follower of God and act this way? One quick prayer that I usually have, please God, stop me from being so stupid. That's probably one of my most common prayers. God heals, and God heals completely. And that one person that God heals, who may be a baby Christian, who may be just thinking about the Christianity, Christian faith, are we building them up? Are we tearing them down? That job that God is doing so completely, are we building upon that foundation? Are we kicking stones? God loves us, each and every one of us, even the sinners. And what Paul said, I found that Paul was wrong. Paul said, forgive me, that he called himself the chief of sinners. I think I am. I think I beat Paul. Paul may have killed Christians, sat there and gave authorization for it, threw them in prison. But are we destroying people's faith in God on how we act as Christians? You're wearing a cross around your neck. People see that. How are you acting? How are you talking to people? Are you building them up? Are you being built up? There's plenty of things to do here at church. Seniors Bible study, men's group, prayer, Sunday school, worship, fellowship. July 3rd, Dave's house. Sign up sheet in the back. Come for a little bit. Fellowship. Coming from someone who likes animals probably more than people. But you need to get over that. If people annoy you, I'm sure you annoy them as well. Come fellowship. Be plugged in. Be built up. Be involved in somebody's life. They can teach you a lot. You can learn a lot. Do not be blind. Father, thank you for the mercy and grace you show us every single day, for the love that you have for us. It's amazing that you created the heavens and the earth, all the animals, the vegetation, oxygen to breathe, water to drink. It is not an accident that we're here. There are no accidents. Father, forgive us where we fall short. Give us encouragement through your word. Let us be that joy that people see. Let us be that fresh air. Let us be that encouragement. Let us be that cool rain on a hot day. As the water makes things grow, let us be refreshing to the people around us that we make their faith grow. Let our hearts be open to your word. That you forget our sins as far as the east is from the west. But let us remember how we begged you to take our sins from us. And that you did not look down on us, but you forgave us our sins. And if you forgave us such a tremendous sin, should we not have mercy on our fellow brothers and sisters, the unbelievers as we once were, that they may come to know you? And if we play a small part in that, we thank you for that blessing. Let us honor you with our lives, with our words, and with our actions. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.